I've been holding on to from the cutting room floor, and see if we can figure out the context here. Turn this down a little bit.
A link to this ass.
There you go.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll play it again.
A link to this ass.
There you go.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if you were here for that, but I think you were trying to come up with a name for the episode.
Legend of Zelda Porno?
Yeah, something like that.
Sounds about right.
So, okay, that was from episode 272. That didn't make it into that episode. Okay, I got another one.
Any low-budget porn producers out there, you got to pay me if you use that.
Like, okay, here's another one from episode 275.
Boners!
Tight boners.
Ooh, tight
that's
boners.
Jason there at the end there. Hey, try that. Let me play that again here for the audience.
Boners!
Tight boners.
Well, the boner's got to be tight. Yeah. Jason likes them tight.
He cleaned it up at the end there. It's pretty raunchy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Here's the final one I have. This one here is from episode 283.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. This has been Hector for Ian, Matt, Jason. No, I'm going to go back. Maybe.
Not Ian.
Yeah.
That's the one Ian wasn't supposed to. Yeah.
Not here for that one.
You stinky dumbhead.
This is Mind Grenade, episode 288, and we are your hosts. I'm Hector.
Matt.
Ian.
And Mind Grenade is a pop culture-based show that dives into TV, movies, music, comics, and a whole lot more. And as you can tell, Jason is MIA. Or
the podcast is a little lighter today.
Yeah.
He's KIA.
KIA, there you go. Mm-hmm. I was making sure I got the right acronym. We're going to get the show going, but I've been wanting to play those
stupid
snippets.
Shit that I yelled on the podcast.
So let's see here. What do we got planned for this episode? I got a couple of things, and it's going to be a little bit different than what I had planned since Jason's not going to be here. But one thing I wanted to do was bring up the Rotten on the Vine segment that we had predicted some Rotten Tomatoes critic scores. Back in November, and Matt wasn't here for that episode.
Right.
So we did the...
Because we predicted Matt's scores for
you. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So this will be
the only time I didn't win.
We always laugh. It'd be funny if you did win.
Yeah. So here. So it's... We predicted the scores prior to the scores showing up. Okay, let me explain what this segment is. So Rotten on the Vine is where the four of us, when Jason's here... predict the critic score for movies that haven't gotten scores yet. So prior to them getting scores. So the movies we had for this round were Spider-Man No Way Home, The Matrix Resurrections, and The Kingsman. And so there weren't any scores when we predicted these. And the scores have come in because these movies have all been released. So for Spider-Man No Way Home, I predicted a 75. Ian predicted an 80. Jason predicted an 85, and Matt predicted a 72.
903.
So, in that for that particular movie, Jason got the closest.
Ian high, got, right?
Yeah. What was the score here? It was like a 93 or 92. Yeah.
I probably would have predicted like a 93 or a 92,
yeah,
probably.
I think so. Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man, No Way, Jose.
Jose.
Zendaya. 93. Okay. So, like
damn.
I said, Jason got the closest with an 85. Ian came in second. I came in third. And Matt in fourth there. So, and then The Matrix Resurrections. Let's see. That score turned out to be a 63.
Oof.
Yeah. And, I don't know if that's a little high. Have you all watched
it? I haven't watched it.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably all right. I feel like it's a little bit high. I'd say like low 60s, maybe. Like
yeah, a little low, like a 60.
Yeah.
Or like a, yeah, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Jason gave it a 72, so he came in first place on that one. Me and Ian tied because we gave it an 80. We were kind of hopeful for that one. And then Matt gave it an 84 for some reason. I don't know what he was thinking.
Perfect score.
So there's a tie between me and Ian, and Jason came in first in that one. The Kingsman, which is the one movie out of the three that I haven't watched, is
I'm going to say, without seeing any trailers, but knowing the series, 84.
Oh, is that what? Okay, hold on a second, because you're going to get a kick out of this
I
one,
enjoyed
Matt.
The Kingsman movies. Have you seen any of them?
No, the first one was good. The second one
was not horrible, but not good either. But the first one was really good.
But they're just over the top kind of action movies. Like that's you kind of come to expect that. So the critic score on Rotten Tomatoes is sitting at 42% for the Kingsman.
Damn,
Ray Fiennes film there. So I predicted it was going to get a 57. Ian predicted it was going to get a 60. Jason also predicted it was going to be a 60. And Matt predicted it was going to be a 45.
Oh!
So you
did
won,
I win?
Yeah, you won that round.
No, I mean, did I win?
Overall, let me show you the rankings for overall.
I got like a 10-point lead from that one, though.
The rankings, so Jason had a 35, so he's in first place. Matt is in second place with a 45. He wasn't even here for that, dang. And he came in second place, made the podium.
The magic of my abilities carries through regardless.
Ian in third, and I didn't make the podium. I got a 50, so.
You made the podium.
Yeah, I guess
the
so.
The podium. It's just like a dog shit on the ground next to the podium that you have to stand on.
Yeah.
I don't wanna.
Yeah, you shove my nose in it, and we can talk about these movies. Ian, you haven't had a chance to. I take it you haven't. Have you watched Spider-Man?
I have not.
Okay.
It's like the movie I want to watch more than anything. I just haven't.
Yeah.
Really gone to a theater.
The hype is real.
It is, man.
Yeah.
I'll caveat that too, and like I'm getting. More and more tired of Marvel stuff.
Yeah.
And then Hawkeye, which maybe we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm back. I don't know.
Okay.
But I always was into the Spider-Man movies, regardless of like the broader Marvel.
When I went to go see it the second time, Spider-Man No Way Home, I texted my niece and I was like, I'm going to watch it a second time. And she's like, I already watched it twice. And she's like, I just started, because she's 14. So she was like, I just started watching. She sent me a picture of her watching the Tobey Maguire movie. So she's starting at the beginning. She's all about it now. So she's starting at the Tobey Maguire ones and going through those three and then the two Andrew Garfield ones. And I'm curious I'm curious what she's going to think about the Andrew Garfield movies, because Andrew Garfield's great in those movies, but those movies are not good.
Those movies are horrible.
Yeah, this poor guy. So then Tobey Maguire ones, she wasn't even alive for, and she was kind of commenting. I want to hear more of what she thinks of those older Tobey Maguire movies. But I can kind of see them aging somewhat.
Yeah, I'm kind of nervous to go back and watch them, especially the first one.
Yeah, because we know the third one's a turd.
Yeah,
but the second one's been considered for a long time as one of the best superhero movies. It's probably Doc Ock and
I feel like. Have you watched the first one?
It's been a long time.
The thing I'm the most concerned about is I feel like tonally, it's going to be closer to like Tim Burton's Batman than the Marvel movies, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And I'm worried that if I go back and watch it, I'm going to be like, I don't like
this.
Kind
of ruin it.
Yeah.
Because the current renaissance, I guess, of superhero movies is... started with those movies, with like X-Men and Spider-Man, Sam Raimi Spider-Man. So we've come a long way where now we're fucking dealing with the multiverse and
Now there's a formula where you can just stick a character in and then suddenly it's Shang-Chi, even though it's the same movie you've seen 700 times.
Yeah, the Shang-Chi has that formula that Iron Man and Doctor Strange is like, oh, okay, well, we're gonna it's formulaic, but
the Spider-Man, the new, especially the new ones, have been very not formulaic, which is what I liked about them.
I've dug a lot of them, and especially casting Tom Holland. And we won't speak too much because Matt, we don't want to ruin it for Matt. But the Spider-Man No Way Home, even though there's a lot of stuff going on around Spider-Man, you know, the villains that have come back and all the craziness that's going around with the multiverse and whatnot, it remains a Tom Holland Spider-Man movie. Like, they don't sacrifice him as a character. It's still it might be the best Tom Holland Spider-Man movie.
It's so good.
And which is when Jason was on and we were reviewing Spider-Man No Way Home, he put it really well that he pointed out how there's so much shit going on in this movie, but like they all of it gets executed very well. Nice. Which when you think of that third Spider-Man movie, the Sam Raimi Venom
one,
yeah. There was so much shit going on and a lot of it didn't land.
Right.
And, yeah. But this one does like a lot and a lot of it lands.
Or I really want to see
it. Yeah, yeah. So without spoiling anything, Ian, did you have any thoughts on No Way Home?
I mean, I really liked when Professor Xavier came in.
Nice.
And, you know. No, I mean, I just... There's just so much to unpack, and I don't want to accidentally spoil something for Matt.
Yeah, I legitimately have seen zero trailers.
That's awesome.
The only thing... I don't know who the villain is, although I don't know if you're supposed to. Yeah. The only thing I do know is because I spend too much time watching just, like, hilarious meme compilations on the internet. Mm-hmm. And there was a period of time where the Doc Ock on the road going, "Hello, Peter," became a bunch of Family Guy memes.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And so I know that one scene. That's all I know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a 2-second clip.
Mm-hmm. Nice. The movie's made a shitload of money. And I'm sure we'll talk about it more some other time. But I want to get into our favorites of 2021, and we'll just do one a piece or... since Jason's not here, but I've been watching Arcane.
Yeah.
And I'm 6 episodes in, and I know that's probably your favorite of 2021.
Yeah, probably.
So I'll just say this, and I'll let you just gush over the show and let listeners know what your thoughts are. For me, I'm only 6 episodes in. I think it's like 9 episodes total.
Yeah.
And I don't know anything about League of Legends. I went in fresh. I remember the morning you came into work, you're like, "Dude, like,
you have to watch this.
Watch this right now. Go home and watch it." So,
and then David like popped up over the little divider and was like, "No, seriously, dude."
That's exactly what happened.
That's about right, yeah.
So it's fucking gorgeous. Every shot of this show is just cool looking, just a visual feast. And then I figured out, because I remember asking you, because it is steampunky, but the other aspect of it is Art Deco. And I was like, yes, that makes sense. Everything's got to look, I don't know, just aesthetically.
I think they're just trying to like signal the wealth of the upper city.
Yeah.
And like doing that like kind of 1920s Art Deco style really nails that like roaring 20s wealth.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
What was a video game that also kind of had the same aesthetic where BioShock?
Are you thinking of Dishonored? BioShock, yes, but BioShock is like where everything's completely run down.
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. I see. It's not as clean.
But yeah, it is kind of Art Deco-y, yeah.
Yeah, super impressed with the animation. This story and the narrative, I appreciate that. It doesn't remind me, it's like, oh, that's formulaic. It doesn't, like, they're doing a great job, make it, like, the originality that I'm, like, I can't, like, I know there's a hero's journey and all that other shit. You know, there's only so many stories you can tell. And we just keep recycling the same stories through the decades and whatnot. But, like, I don't feel it's derivative.
No, and, like, it does such a good job balancing so many different characters. And, it, like, the thing that I liked about it the most is you almost never know where it's going, but that's never a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Like there are some shows where you're like, what the fuck, what am I watching? Like, why does any of this matter? Mm-hmm. But this is like, you're so engaged in the characters that you're like, you're okay that you don't know kind of where the story's going. Cause you're just, the characters don't know either. You're just kind of experiencing.
And I like how the characters are a little more dynamic and they have flaws to them and they're not like, this is the good guy.
Yeah, exactly.
This
is
the bad guy.
I'll think, okay, they're going to go this route, and then they don't. But not in a super deliberate way. Like, they're just they're not setting up red herrings every 5 minutes, only to, like, just, you know, take a twist. Like, it's... I really appreciate the story. The art, back to the art. I feel the art also does a lot of the storytelling, without, mm-hmm. you know, there'll be a fight going on and it's not relying on them talking about what their feelings are. Like it's a lot of the story comes across in the artwork.
It does a lot of the heavy lifting for the show.
And you were talking about the design, like the Art Deco and stuff. Mm-hmm. The art does so much of the world building as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, really digging it. But,
I say we can do a little spoiler here. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Mm-hmm.
Put your milk away.
Not a spoiler to you because you've seen it though. But on episode 3, where a like 6, 7, or 8 year old girl murders all her friends by accident, was the moment where I was like, "Oh, this show is gonna do some cool stuff." Like,
yeah,
the first 3 episodes were good, mm-hmm. and I was like, "I like this." I was like, "But I don't know, like, where or what kind of story they're trying to tell." And then I was like, "Oh, they're trying to tell a dark story," and I was like,
"That's when the show."
Her descent into madness is
pretty cool. Yeah.
That's when the show takes the turn. Like, that's where it becomes the show, I think. Like, it's still mm-hmm. good at the, I mean, it kept me interested. But then I could tell that's where it's like, okay, this is where the show, because then the following episode, time has passed.
Yep.
I feel like they, like, when I think of that character, like Harley Quinn.
Jinx, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, I mean, yes, there's certainly a lot of similarities there. But I must feel like in some of the portrayals of Harley Quinn, they should have. I mean, they've done a way better job of portraying craziness and like true like split.
Well, yeah, Jinx is a better Harley Quinn than Harley Quinn. Yeah,
100%.
Wow. Okay, yeah, yeah.
She was totally like. So we've talked a little bit about League, and I know a little bit, but not much. So mm-hmm. I'm probably going to say a lot of wrong shit. But like the characters were designed just to be cool aesthetically, and they all have like a little backstory, but. There was never really a very good attempt at like an overarching story, but that Jinx was basically probably like someone at Riot was like, what if we made Harley Quinn with a rocket launcher?
Yep.
And they're like, oh yeah. And then, so I guarantee the character is like almost like a rip off of Harley Quinn, but the show has made her so much more than that.
Also, before we started recording, me and Ian were talking about, Hailee Steinfeld, in the Hawkeye show, how she's like, good. I'm so glad they had her on that show because that show would not have been as good. But she's the voice for Vi.
Oh, is she?
Yeah,
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, and she's in something else too. She's just killing it right now. I'm so glad for her career right now. What was the other thing? She's done another voice as well. But anyway, great recommendation.
So I'll make another very short time commitment recommendation. Yeah. So Riot, who makes League, who makes Arcane, also makes Valorant, which is probably like the biggest esport right now aside from League. The company just like raking in money. But the if you could go onto YouTube and look at some of the Valorant animated things,
mm-hmm.
they're amazing.
Hmm.
They're just like short little trailers for like upcoming seasons of the game and stuff and introducing new characters. But they're like almost on the level of Arcane. Some of them probably are.
Okay.
And you can bet your ass that there will be a Valorant show
at some point. Yeah.
At some point.
With the success of
crazy
the,
for that.
Yeah, yeah. But the little Valorant clips are really cool.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the success of Arcane on Netflix, yeah, I'm sure they'll have spinoffs. Hailee Steinfeld is also, she's the voice of Spider-Gwen in Into the Spider-Verse. Arcane, again, great recommendation. I really enjoying that show.
Hector, mm-hmm. Into the Spider-Verse or Far From Home?
See, that's the thing is, I've been thinking about this lately. So, No Way Home, Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, better than Spider-Verse.
And
that's a bold claim.
And Spider-Man 2 with Doc Ock are like the top 3.
Mm-hmm.
We'll put the second Spider-Man movie with Doc Ock in number 3. But yeah, man, that's a tough one with those. Because I think we're all lucky. Or, you know, it's great that we got 2 awesome Spider-Man movies. I don't know. One's got the animation, which I really like. And a likable Peter Parker in that Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, the old man Peter.
Veteran, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just glad we got 2 awesome Spider-Man movies, and hopefully it's, you know, not the peak. I hope we get more really cool Spider-Man movies. You know, speaking of Tom Holland's Spider-Man, I'm not that interested, or was that interested, or even have never played the game Uncharted.
Mm-hmm.
But the more trailers I've watched with the movie that's supposed to come out next month with Tom Holland, it does look pretty decent. I mean, I could be wrong.
I feel like the only problem with that is if you ever played the Uncharted games, I feel like even though Tom Holland is not a boy, he'll never not look like a boy.
Yeah, yeah.
And Nathan Drake is more like a Brad Pitt type character.
A dude.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. He looks too much like a child.
So I don't know. Maybe he'll do a great job of it.
It's like your little cousin coming along.
But like, yeah, the Nathan Drake is just like the dude who's like so handsome and masculine that it's painful, so he's always kind of squinting at everything.
Scowling, yeah.
You know what he actually reminds me of? What is those, like, Renton? You remember those?
Yeah, the little boy.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Tom Holland.
That's
he can play a live-action Tintin.
Wow.
That's awesome. I love Tom Holland.
Yeah, yeah. He's super charming. You know, I what's funny, too, that I've noticed is whenever they get these British actors to play American superheroes, it's the first move you can... Once you've seen them in a couple movies, once you've seen Benedict Cumberbatch in a couple, playing Doctor Strange a couple times, the accent gets better.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Holland's also Tom Holland was pretty decent that first time.
Yeah, I don't think I knew he was a British actor until I saw him talking as Tom Holland. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he did a really good job.
Yeah,
of it.
Yeah. But some of them I can tell. It's like, okay, he's better in this one than what was a. What's the guy that played Bilbo Baggins in the Hobbit movies? That actor, he plays...
Bilbo or Frodo?
I'm sorry, Bilbo. He also plays Watson in the Benedict Cumberbatch Sherlock.
Yeah, damn it, I can't remember. Something Martin Short?
Not
Martin Short.
It's very close to Martin Short,
like Martin, though. Yeah, but that actor, he shows up in Black Panther.
Yeah.
A S.H.I.E.L.D. agent or whatever. But before that, he was in Captain America Civil War for like a tiny little bit as his first appearance in the MCU. And in that movie, you're like, ugh, like the accent's just a little rough, the American accent. And then in Black Panther, and it's better. So you just, I guess, with practice and stuff like that. But.
So, you know, is there like a thing behind all these British actors? Why is there so many people from Britain that are getting into acting?
Well,
they have like a premiere, must have a bunch of good schools there or something. Like a theater?
Man, I don't know.
Is it just because like all Americans have the hots for English accents?
Well, my theory is that the best actors come from the best food comes from Italy or France. I mean, arguably, right? Like the best cuisine.
I think it's more like the way music works, where. Like in the 60s, like all great music was coming out of Britain.
Yeah.
And then it kind of shifted in like the 70s and 80s. It was more American. And like even like to a more smaller level, you can look at like hip hop, like in the 2000s, everyone was coming from Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Or like in the 90s, everyone was coming from New York and LA. It's just the scene. Like
they rise up
out
That's
of these scenes
to,
that,
yeah.
that kind of come up.
Okay. Yeah.
So I think like Britain... Like, because if you think about before, like a few years before now, you had like Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie and that whole generation. They were all American.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I think it just that they rise out of the culture they're in type of deal.
Mm. Martin Freeman is the actor's
there
name. Correction there.
And Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, Morgan Freeman. Martin Freeman. So, and then another correction that I meant to bring up at the beginning of the podcast. This is from. The episode I did by myself, 287. I was going down the list of the movies I plan on watching this year, 2022. And Jurassic was supposed to be a Jurassic World movie coming out. And I mistitled it as Jurassic World Domination. It's not Domination. It's Dominion.
Oh, it's not Jurassic World GIF of guy yawning?
Yeah, right, yeah.
That's quite the egregious mistake. I can't believe you did that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it's funny. And now I'm starting to suspect that Matt only ever goes online and just looks up GIFs and memes. That's all
yes,
you go
definitely.
On there for. There's
He's
nothing else.
There's nothing else useful on the internet.
So I did speak about this on the podcast when I thought the title was Domination. Like, my imagination went a little bit wild there where, like, it'd be awesome if the Jurassic... Because I haven't watched that second one with Chris Pratt. I watched the first one. But It'd be awesome if, like, the next movie, like, the dinosaurs actually, like, almost take over the planet, where, like, enough of them take out a big chunk of the population. And, like, when I thought the name of the movie was Domination, I was like, oh, that would be awesome, actually, if, like, they really, like, fuck shit up. And
I thought it was going to be like an R-rated, you know, they're wearing like it's a T-Rex wearing like with spandex. With like leather, and like the zipper over his
mouth. Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay, a little S&M there. let's see, what else?
I do want to shout out, before we leave Tom Holland too far behind.
Yeah.
You guys ever watch Hot Ones?
Yes. It's been a while.
Okay,
yeah.
His episode of Hot Ones is one of my favorite all-time episodes of Hot Ones. I'll have to watch it. He is like the most charming dude. Like, there's no way he was not going to be famous.
Yeah, I get that from his interviews.
Yeah.
He's just such a likable guy.
No, I know. There's you're like, I want to fucking hang out with that guy.
Right.
That's awesome. Okay, and then, Ian, did you have anything that stood out for you in 2021?
Honestly, for me, I mean, it's mostly kind of shows on the front runner for me. I mean, I really liked... probably The Witcher. I freaking loved that.
They did such a better job with the second season of The Witcher too.
Like, oh, you're enjoying the second one as well?
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about? The second one is past. Yeah.
Don't do what me and Katie, and I've talked to Jason about this as well. And I don't know if you did this, but there was a small amount of time where we were watching both The Wheel of Time and The Witcher.
No, yes, that's what
and your brain is like, these are the same things. And then you're like trying to parse which show you're remembering. Yeah. It's,
Well, what are your thoughts on Wheel of Time so far? Because I know you're watching that, Ian.
I really love it. Well, I loved it. So I'm like a super nerd for high like fantasy with magic and swords is like my favorite thing.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, having both those come out at the same time and not realizing they were going to come out was like Christmas. So that was like a Christmas gift for me. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. It's like the best week ever off work. I just binged both those
shows. Yeah, because I remember Katie came home one day from work and she's like, yeah, I told Ian about The Witcher. And he like lost his mind.
I was like, what the? It's like, shut the fuck up. What do you mean it's out?
Yeah.
I literally went home that morning and I was like, oh my God, she's right.
Nice.
I think personally, I feel like The Wheel of Time is a little better, but they're both great.
Nice. Okay, I was wondering about the second season of The Witcher, if it was going to kind of keep consistent.
Yeah, I would say that probably The Wheel of Time is better.
It's got just like, there's more meat on the bones.
Mm-hmm. But that makes sense, though. I mean, there's a lot of material to pull from. There's so many books. Mm-hmm. I mean, those books, I think there's like, it's like 4 million written words for the series. It's something that's incredibly crazy.
I'm pretty sure that same author, Robert Jordan, I think is the author's name of The Wheel of Time. I'm wondering if it's the same guy all the way through.
I think it is. Yeah, he's written a bunch.
And that's on Amazon?
Wheel of Time's on Amazon.
Yeah.
No, there's supposed to be another big one coming out pretty soon too, right? The Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that 2022? Is it this year?
I hope so.
I do too. Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah. The other day I was taking a nap and I laid down and I like to have the TV on sometimes just in the background, a little volume low.
Mm-hmm.
And I had HBO Max on and I was like, oh, I'll throw in The Two Towers, Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, the extended edition. I fucking forgot. That fucker is like 4 hours long.
If you say extended edition and Lord of the Rings, it is starting at 4 hours, potentially longer.
Well, like extended director's cut, the Smeagol edition.
Yeah.
They used to come with like 6 DVDs in the sleeve.
Yeah.
You buy and it comes with a pillow.
That's what. So I lay down for a nap at Head Start and it's like.
And then you woke up and the opening sequence ended.
Yeah.
Like, damn. So, how long was I sleeping for?
I lay down and I wake up a little later and I look at the TV and I roll over just for a second and just see what's going on. And I notice that Faramir, Boromir's brother, is like captures Frodo and Samwise.
Like ruined city.
And they're like, who's the gangly fellow that's following you with you guys or going coming along, you know, that's with you guys? Smeagol, like,
that's Andy Serkis.
Yeah,
he's always there, man.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, this is at the end of this movie. Wow, I slept pretty long. And then I roll over and just let it play out, and I go to sleep for another however long, 20 minutes, and I wake up and the Battle of Helm's Deep is just getting started. I was like, holy fuck. I thought this shit was just at the end, and it was like, no. And that Battle of Helm's Deep is so fucking cool. cool.
It's such an impressive feat of filmmaking, especially at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
There is also so many good memes from that.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That is a very memeable movie.
So I guess this is going to be the meme episode of this podcast. Yeah.
All right, I got to ask, when that opening music comes on, do you guys get like a little goosebumps?
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's a great, they have some great themes for
that. I still remember the first time that came on. It was so, like, I don't know how to describe it, but it's so perfect for a story about a long lost past fantasy, you know, like, because it's the title, Lord of the Rings, and then it's almost like light is like coming, like hitting it just right, and the music is playing, and it's so like, I don't know. It's just perfection.
And
that
it's
I
like
can
hope and yet despair.
Yeah, at the same it's all it like encapsulates it all perfectly in just the first couple seconds of, and then it opens up, especially the first movie, the Fellowship of the Ring, where then they just show you the kind of the backstory and Sauron coming in in the battle. Fuck, it's so good. Like, and it still holds up. We were talking about Spider-Man, the first Sam Raimi, and I'm like, if we went and watched it, it's probably going to be a little hokey.
Like campy. Yeah.
Campy, yeah. But that those Lord of the Rings movies still hold up.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame that they made fucking three of those. I like the second Hobbit movie only because I think Smaug, like it's like CGI perfection, especially with the voice acting with Benedict Cumberbatch. But why make three? I mean, I know why, but why make three movies out of that one tiny?
They could have made two movies, I think.
Yeah.
I never actually finished The Hobbit because it was just like the perfect timing of I watched the second one, the third one wasn't coming out for a long time. I wasn't totally in love with it, and I was like, whatever, and I kind of forgot about it.
I still like it.
But the third one's the one with the Battle of the Seven Armies or whatever, which in the books is such an important part, I'd like to watch it.
And from what I remember in the book, like it was a huge fucking, like, the way it was described in the book, like your imagination, like, I mean,
well, a big part of it in the book is he gets like knocked out immediately, right?
That's
so
right,
you don't
yeah.
actually see or hear right. much about it, but like in your mind you're like, seven armies, you're like, I want to see that.
It was a lot better in my mind than it turned out, where then, like, because I had read the Lord of the Rings books once, I'd seen Fellowship in the theater and then fell in love with it, that I was like, okay, I'm gonna start reading the books. And then I got the books read before the Two Towers, and I got the it's amazing how much from like big concepts to little tiny things that made it into the movie from the books, like that I had kind of filled into my mind from reading the books that made it into, like, I was just so impressed with the way that Peter Jackson put those movies together, because there's so much in there that, like, that's really what you want from an adaptation, be it a comic book movie. You want the essence of the story, but also just a lot. Here's an example of a comic book movie. Civil War, Captain America, Civil War. That scene at the end when Iron Man and Captain America are fighting, and there's that one shot that they slow down, where it's like Iron Man's repulsors shooting against Captain America's shield while he's holding. That's straight out of the comic book.
Right.
Like that image. But it's done so well in the movie. Like, that's what you... So you want the essence of the characters, but you also want that kind of fanboy stuff in there. And I think the Lord of the Rings did that, like,
perfectly. Yeah.
So, it's a lesson to all you movie directors out there.
Do better.
Yeah, that's what
it's really easy, guys. Just be Peter Jackson.
Yeah.
I feel like if there's one thing that can get us on a tangent that all of us just go ham on, it's Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. So,
everyone starts like kind of like fat breathing.
Oh, you have to tell your pretzel bite story. That cracked me up so much.
Oh, okay. So I went to, so the last three movies before I went to watch Spider-Man No Way Home. So actually, okay. So the last time, the last time I was in the theater was for my second viewing of Spider-Man. The three other movies prior to that I went to go see, I treat myself when I go to the movie theater. I get some pretzel bites or whatever, you know, and splurge a little bit and get some sugar in me and some bread, some pretzel bites with the cheese, with the little cheese sauce you dip in there. Mm-hmm. And I go to the concession stand. The last three times I go in there, I'll take some pretzels. We're out of the cheese. I was like, okay, never mind. So this last time, I was like, I'm going to fucking teach these guys. I'm going to fucking show these guys. I went to Hy-Vee. I went to the supermarket, bought my own little canister of cheese. I go in there. I'm like, oh, hell yeah. This is going to rock. I go in there. We're out of pretzel bites and cheese. And I was like, you're out of.
They're like, yeah, we only have the cheese.
Yeah. I was like, you're out of both the pretzels and the cheese? He's like, yeah. I was like, motherfucker. So I sat in the theater with a can of cheese in my pocket the entire time.
Were you tempted, like, dip a couple of
fingers? It's still in my cupboard right now. Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. So that was fun. Here's another pretzel movie story. It's going to get a little bit R-rated here for any sensitive listeners. So the very, very, very last Harry Potter movie, I forget the name of it now, or whatever it was.
Book 2, Part 2.
Yeah, so the second one.
Or sorry, Book 7, Part 2.
Yeah, they split. It was one of those franchises where they had to split the final book into two movies. So, and that was a good movie, whatever that last one was called. It was when they were still making movies with the 3D where they, like,
oh, you could go see it in 3D?
Well, they had two versions of the 3D approach at this era. It was either the movie was just made with without 3D being, like, considered, and they add the 3D effect to a movie that they didn't do anything kind of, like, impressive with that aspect of the movie. But then this Harry Potter movie, they actually did little tricks to accentuate the 3D because they knew they were going to make it 3D. Mm-hmm. So there's stuff like the chandeliers in the castle floating without any kind of, like, thing holding it up. Like, they would float, and the 3D effect would show this chandelier in front of that other chandelier. And whenever the wands were being used, they'd, like, shoot past, get that effect of, like, the 3D effect shooting past you. This movie, there's more than just, like, oh, look, this spear, we're going to make it look like it's coming right at you. There was really creative creative ways to accentuate the 3D effect in that movie. So I'm sitting there, got my 3D glasses on, and I went to watch the movie by myself, that movie. And Harry Potter, kids movie, right? I mean, adults are into it. Yeah. And the kids that grew up on that stuff are adults now. But anyway, so I'm a 30-something-year-old man in the theater watching this movie by myself. It's all dark. I'm enjoying this movie. And I'm eating this pretzel. It's one of the Bavarian pretzels, so it's not the bites. It's the full pretzel. So I've got it on my lap, and I'm eating it piece by piece. At some point, there's only a long piece of it sitting, so this long piece of pretzel, brown pretzel, on my lap, and I'm like, oh my god, if somebody, like, walks through here and sits down and looks down, and
like, hey, nice dick.
And there's this guy,
thanks, man.
There's this one dude by himself watching a Harry Potter movie with, like, this long pretzel. Yeah,
why is there salt on your dick?
Salt or schlong, man?
Yeah. Back to the 3D aspect of that movie. I'm glad that was. That kind of came and went. Like,
I'm glad it's gone as well.
I saw one of the Avengers movies in 3D, and, like, I think 3D would be best served in, this is probably, like, sacrilegious, mm-hmm. but in, like, what's that amazing actor that acts in, like, one movie every decade and everyone loves?
Yeah,
Daniel Day-Lewis. Daniel Day-Lewis. In, like, just a slow, grindy plot movie. Where just the depth of 3D can provide, like, the space, like, if they're in a big room with chandeliers
and stuff.
But the second anyone starts moving quickly, your eyes just are like, what is happening? Mm-hmm. And, like, fight scenes in 3D just, like, are just a blur.
Yeah, it's not helping.
But, like, I think it could add some, like, just extra, like, scenery and ambience to, like, slower movies.
With that Harry Potter movie, one of the other ways creative ways they used the 3D was to, like, accentuate emotional beats in the character development.
Mm-hmm.
So the scenes get set up, and whatever, Hermione and Harry are having a moment, and right at a very critical emotional point, then something happens with the 3D. So it's accentuating the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So something will come out of focus or go into, like, and what was that? My stomach just
it could have been me. I don't know.
Yeah. So using it like that, like queuing up moments.
Mm-hmm, like creative use of it. Like, yes. So I think like, remember like 3D came out in like what, like the 90s, and it was hot garbage.
Yeah.
And then it was like a fad and it went away. And then it came up again, and then it went away. Like, you guys, it's totally coming back.
Like, who was pushing it? Because it doesn't feel like that was coming from the directors. The directors, I don't feel were like,
it's like all the studios.
Let's, you know, film this in 3D. It's almost like they were forced.
It's like, it was a marketing thing, really. Yeah.
In those 3D TVs for home.
I can't believe anyone bought those. Wow. They just quietly stopped making those pretty quickly.
Those fucking glasses are like $100.
Yeah, they're like, you have to wear these expensive ass glasses, and the like the field of actually watching the TV was like so narrow that only like three people could watch it at a time.
Yeah,
I'm wondering about, and we'll wrap it up here here shortly. The virtual reality. So I'm a kid of the 90s, and that shit was like, oh my god, virtual reality. And then it fucking like never materialized. And then I would say about 10 years back, it kind of started like the talk and people's buzz about it. Like, but then now, and then it kind of dissipated a little bit. And then now it's starting to become a thing again.
It's like, it's permanent now. Yeah. If you've ever put one of those things on, it's fucking amazing.
That's what I've heard. Impressive. That's what I've heard. Yeah.
It totally fucks
the way that it I don't know how it tracks your movement so well.
Like
there's a, like, it's not a medical condition, but there's a term for when you wear VR goggles too long, when you take them off, you get like visual disturbances because your brain has adapted to reality being the VR. And so it, like, it's like when you go into a from a dark room to a light room, right? You're like, oh, what the fuck, like, it just hurts your eyes more than normal. So you get, your body gets so used to VR that when you take it off, you get like visual disturbances for a while.
I want a movie experience in VR.
We just talked about this on Listen Impossible.
Yeah. Did it get kind of raunchy?
Well, no, it was like, I mean, maybe, probably, but it was more just like, it's such a cool thought, but it's such an impossible task to actually accomplish. Like in a movie, the director like picks a specific shot, and then everything is arranged so that from this one angle it looks great. Now imagine if you had to make that movie where anyone could look anywhere at any time. You'd have to have 360 degrees of perfection. Everything would have to be placed perfectly.
That'd be tough.
And so we were like, I said what I want to see is a VR movie where it's just one asshole's point of view. So, like, I don't want to watch the VR movie with myself in VR. I just want to watch someone else watch the movie in VR. And, like, he just, like, he's, like, looking off in the corner, like, looking at, like, the furniture and stuff. You're like, what the fuck is this guy looking at while, like, the most important scene is happening?
I see.
And so you're just watching what some dumbass was, like, looking around at. I was like, that would be better than a VR movie.
Oh, that's funny. No, I've heard that, of course, the porn industry is always, like, affecting new media and stuff like that. And I was listening to a podcast that they brought that up, where it's like the porn where you can imagine, and they were talking about how the porn actors or whatever will come up to your ear and whisper, and you'll only hear it from one side of the speaker, like, and so they're getting creative with it. But like, you were just bringing up how much, I guess, not memory, but like, for example, the like Call of Duty, like when I'm playing multiplayer, like I've always thought, I was like, man, that's crazy that like from my perspective I can see this rendered realized environment with like fucking specks of dust in the air. It's that good now. But I'm playing with like 12 other people, however many other people, in the same fucking virtual arena. And they're seeing from their, from, so whatever server or whatever computer, whatever is holding all that memory, like that's a lot going on for it to compensate for 12 people's point of views in one environment with that much shit going on. Like I said, dust in the air or rain or whatever, that we went from, Frogger to Call of Duty and
like
whatever,
to sharing a physical space together,
right?
Almost,
So I'm just imagining VR will eventually, I mean, from what you're describing, it sounds like it'll get there eventually.
I think it is there.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I think VR will obviously get better, but like, VR now is what VR, what everyone
is
dreamed.
What we, back
is what
in the
everyone
90s,
dreamed VR would be. Like, it's there.
It's just crazy. It's just crazy to have been when I was growing up in the 90s and we were talking about it. And we're like, oh my God. And then finally now it's actually happening these many decades later.
And like the next gen consoles can run pretty powerful VR. Mm-hmm. In fact, PlayStation just announced their VR for the PS5.
Oh man. A Spider-Man VR.
Yeah.
Oh fuck.
So like anyone who has the new next gen consoles, you fuckers.
Yeah.
They're unobtainable. Yeah.
I go hide mine.
You used to have a hard time getting one.
Oh man.
Yeah.
So it's been well over a year now. And like, I finally have gotten put a little more effort into it where like, I just follow people on Twitter that like the second anyone has it in stock, they just like jump on it. I have missed, like everything sells out in milliseconds. Hmm. They're like, Target has a whole bunch of PS5s. You pull up the page, hit it in your cart, sold out.
You know why?
Amazon. Right?
Because like everyone has these like easy, basically Python scripts.
And yeah, I know.
Yeah, they go on the website and then they just like preloaded to just basically, as soon as it posts,
they just
buy
brute forced it.
Yeah.
But the resale market's taking a bit of a hit now because they are becoming more available.
I'm having a hard time selling my 50 right now that I've got.
I just want to go on a quick rant about. Yeah. Everyone is so mad at scalpers for buying PS5s and whatever, and then so no one else can get them, and then they're reselling them at high value. It's like, that is not the bigger problem. The bigger problem is, if you want to buy a PS5 from Walmart, you have to sign up for Walmart Plus. So you have to pay. So when Walmart gets a batch of PS5s, they sell them first to Walmart Plus members. Amazon, you have to have Amazon Prime. GameStop, you have to have GameStop. So these companies are scalping way more money than the individual citizens are by forcing you to pay for memberships just to get access to a product.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And no one's talking about it. It makes me very angry.
Yeah.
I did recently, maybe this past week, looked up to see PlayStation 5's availability, even though I knew I was fucking a pipe dream. But the prices, the price points that I was looking at was like, close to $1,000. Is that?
Oh no, those are whoever you're looking at as a resale.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's more like.
It depends on if you want the disk drive or not. Which you guys? Why the fuck does anyone want a disk drive?
There you go. Okay, I'm on.
But it's like $400 to $500 or $500 to $600. I think.
Yeah, I'm with Matt. A disk drive in my new Xbox.
It's like the only way it makes sense is if you live in the country or something like that, and like you have shit.
You're right. You can't like download a game or something. Yeah, Jason.
So yeah, man, with the virtual reality, especially after seeing footage, I was at a friend's house and he had the 4K TV and the PlayStation with the Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
It was fucking amazing. That Miles Morales Spider-Man video game. It's fucking stunning, dude. So imagine, I can only imagine a virtual reality version of that. You're just swinging through. And cut to in my living room, just bumping into shit.
Yeah. It's like puking. I thought it would be fun.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, we'll wrap it up unless you guys had anything else there.
Oh, I want to shout out my best music of 2021.
Yes. Yeah, dude, do it.
The Beatles.
Oh,
that's a cop out. Yeah.
Tell me about this new band.
So. Obviously, we already talked about the documentary, but I just wanted to say, I always come up, I probably have said it many times on this show, I come up with these ridiculous tasks, like I'm going to read the Game of Thrones while watching Game of Thrones, and then I just get bored of it because it takes up so much of my time.
Oh, I forgot you were doing that. Yeah.
Or I'm going to watch like all the Avengers movies in a row, and then like three movies in, I'm like, fuck that, I have better things to do with my life. But I did say I'm going to listen to the Beatles' entire catalog chronologically.
Wow.
And... oh my God, dude, best band in the history
of
everything. Fucking
cool, man, yeah.
But the coolest thing is, one, hearing them develop, like hearing them mature.
Yeah.
And then I should say, I completed this task more than once. Like, I finally did my task, and it was so good, I did it multiple times. But everyone knows their number one hits. Like, if there's that album, Beatles One, that's every number one hit.
Right.
Like, none of those are my favorite songs after
She Loves
this.
You, yeah.
There's so many better Beatles songs than their number one hits.
Yeah.
So, like, going through their catalog, especially the kind of the trio of Rubber Soul, Revolver, and Sgt. Pepper's is just, like, amazing.
Have you, okay, I would be curious this. I mean, if you don't know, maybe do it and get back. But so let's see, you got your list of songs right. You've picked them out indiscriminately. Like, you pay this, I like this, link, mm-hmm. this one. Then figure out who wrote those, if it would be one specific person.
Oh, no, totally. I've like, I have fallen way down the Beatles rabbit hole. Like, mm-hmm. I know the stories behind a lot of the songs, not only who wrote them, but like how they were recorded and stuff.
So who is your favorite Beatle?
Paul is my favorite Beatle.
Yeah. That's, I've done that. I did that recently with Radiohead about a year ago, where I made a complete discography and then removed like extemporaneous stuff, like a live version of, you know, although there are some really good live versions of mm-hmm. Radiohead songs, but, and I was like, okay, I'm going to go from the beginning and listen to the end and just see you start to notice the progression.
Right.
I enjoyed that, but now you got me all
like, and the interesting thing about the Beatles too, unlike a lot of bands, is like, there is a good argument to be made that Abbey Road is their best album, and it is their last album. So they almost never peaked. It was just like,
which is impressive for
perfection
a band.
For a whole career.
It's arguably nearly every band has that peak, and you're like, okay, they're kind
of
done.
You could argue that the three albums that I said were kind of their creative peak, but Abbey Road is a fantastic album. So,
Here Comes the Sun. That was supposed to be one of my stops when I went to England, is to go to that. To Abbey Road, but I never did make it.
What I want to do now is make a playlist of my favorite or of the best Beatles songs that weren't number ones.
Nice, yeah. Because I have my my playlist, and let's see, it's 22 songs, and 2, 4, 5 of them are off that number one out that one
Beatles one. Yeah.
Yeah, Eleanor Rigby.
Oh, Eleanor Rigby is a great song.
Yeah. Such a good song.
She Loves You, I Want to Hold Your Hand, Penny Lane. And like Penny, and I get what you're saying, that the hits, you know, that we've heard a dozen times because they were played on the radio. Penny Lane, I feel, is very radio friendly and played a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people know that song. But I still think it's a solid song. Like, it's
For sure. Like the number ones are obviously there for a reason.
Right. Yeah.
It's just I was so impressed to find so much of their back catalog very enjoyable.
Cuts. Yeah.
Like the Drive My Car, I've listened to more than almost any other song, because it's like it's the opening track on Rubber Soul,
mm-hmm.
and it the second I hear that song, like I picture Austin Powers. It's like the swinging '60s, like in a single song, is Drive My Car.
Nice. I was thinking about Austin Powers last night. I haven't watched those movies in a long time. And there's a scene where Austin, it's like the beginning of one of the movies, where he's going through a casino doing his little dance thing, I guess. And then at some point, he points at some stranger and goes, "Hey, there you are." The stranger's like, "Do I know you?" He's like, "No, but there you are." Like, that's so fucking stupid, but it's so funny.
It's such a Mike Myers joke. Yeah.
There you are. Do I know you? No, but there you are. It's like, oh god.
Thank you.
Yeah. cool. And Twist and Shout by the Beatles. That's got to be a cover. That's probably
it is a cover. Is it? A lot of, I didn't know this either. I guess a lot of their early albums had quite a few covers on them. But like, you're not really familiar with the music of that time to know that they're covers. But I will say the first two or three albums are mixed with some of the greatest songs of all time, with just horrible, monotonous garbage. Like, I said I was going to listen to them all, so I didn't skip, but I wanted to skip quite a few times on their first, because it wasn't until Rubber Soul that they, maybe like Help, where they were like starting to become more interesting, but their early music is very derivative of like the 50s, and it just kind of gets monotonous.
Hmm. Matt, have you watched Last Night in Soho yet?
Yes, I was going to bring that up too instead of Austin Powers, but then I thought Austin Powers was a better way, because Last Night in Soho is more about how the 60s weren't that great.
Yeah. The reason I bring up Last Night in Soho ties perfectly into this, and we'll probably just wrap up the show with this. Edgar Wright, a music lover, in that movie, I didn't realize that Got My Mind Set on You was a cover that George Harrison, it's George Harrison in the 80s. Mm-hmm. So you got to forgive those rock stars that made it into the 80s from the 60s and the 70s. Cause The '80s.
The sensibilities didn't match up. No, yeah. And they're like, I'm going to try out all this new technology. Yeah. And they're like, hey, okay, boomer.
So whenever I hear Got My Mind Set on You, the George Harrison version, I'm like, I like this song, even though it's just kind of a radio. It's not his best stuff, but it's still George Harrison, who's my favorite Beatle. But when I was watching Last Night in Soho, Got My Mind Set on You starts to play, but it's not George Harrison. And it sounded like an older version. I was like, holy shit, I didn't realize that was a cover, that George Harrison covered that song. It's the original is by somebody, a musician named James Ray. And so, yeah, it's just, I mean, especially bands like that from the 60s, where like Elvis or the Beatles were like taking songs from like old blues singers from the 50s and whatnot. And then you don't realize because we weren't there.
Yeah, right.
So, and by the way, I really enjoyed Last Night in Soho.
Last Night in Soho was very good.
Mm-hmm. Edgar Wright. So, we'll wrap it up unless we have anything else. I was going to do my favorite of 2021. I've got one that I was going to talk about, but I'll wait till Jason is here and we'll both get into that. Spoiler alert, it's an anime. I'm sure people can guess from listening to this podcast for the last year. Right up there, man. Yeah, Arcane like was such a great recommendation, and I'm looking forward to wrapping that up. I'm watching that, and I'm watching Demon Slayer. And before you showed up, Matt, me and Ian were talking about other TV shows that are popular right now that we just can't muster enough excitement for. Just the Boba Fett show.
I watched the first two episodes. Yeah,
it's a garbage. I literally turned it off.
Well, the first episode is particularly bad. I would say that.
Okay.
The second episode's fine. Yeah. It's
what? The second episode was boring too.
Well, I know, like it, but it was better than the first.
I mean, how many times in the first episode I'm like, is this almost over?
I don't know. Like I think Jon Favreau has done some good stuff, but I'm just not a fan of what he's done with Star Wars at all.
A fan of The Mandalorian.
Yeah,
I feel like this show is like if they boiled off all the good stuff and just left like the base filth of The Mandalorian and then just put Boba Fett into it.
And why does he get his ass kicked so much?
Okay, we got to do this right now. Ian, he is like a daimyo, like a crime lord. He has no troops. So he's like marching around telling people to do what he says.
And he has like two minions.
He has nobody. Yeah. It's so dumb. Yes. Okay, all right. Yeah. I just want that to be out.
It's completely stupid.
Yes.
Like. We'll definitely talk more of that when we get back together. So, and then briefly, I did realize you guys, a new episode of Listen Impossible was just dropped. You want to tease
yesterday.
That at all?
Yeah, listen to it.
Nice.
Jason's on it, so sorry.
So, if you missed Jason on this episode, you can find him on Listen Impossible with Matt and crew over there. And let's see. We'll wrap it up here. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. This has been Hector for Ian, Matt, and Bondage T-Rex saying so long, and we'll talk to you soon.
Boom.